Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome inside Hour 3, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Hey, buddy. Yeah.
And thanks to Jay Glazer and Howie Long for stopping by a few minutes ago. Jay, with all the latest info on Baker Mayfield, when Deshaun Watson, when the trade could potentially happen, Jay said, look, this is the original timeline, right? You know, we're getting right before the trade deadline now, and this is kind of where we have been all along. And, of course, then we had Howie able to chime in and say some things, and now they're going out clubbing tonight. So I think that could be like a new television show for Netflix. You know, yeah. Jay goes clubbing, and each week he brings somebody from the NFL on Fox team with him.
You see, here's the thing. I think all the other guys are in for the club experience. I think that would just be a great documentary of a guy that wants no part of it. Now he won't. I've only met Howie once or twice in all our run-ins here at Fox, but from what I know of Howie, that's not his. That ain't his thing. So when he said, "Hey, I'm going home," he's the guy that just says, "I'm going home."
It reminded me so much of like when you're in your 20s when you go out to clubs, right? Because I got tired of clubs. Like
you don't do it anymore.
Oh no, dude! I always needed space, man. I wasn't a club guy where I got to stand the entire time, and the music is so incredibly loud that it's hard to hear yourself, and the comfort level, and I got to wait forever to get a drink from the bar. I went Sunday night was always the only night I would go out to a club when I was in my 20s because it was the big night. It was 93-cent beer night, right? So I would always go because the radio station 93Q had 93-cent beer night. Night out at Club 37 in Syracuse. So I would go every Sunday night, and the place was packed because it was 93-cent beers from like 8 to 9:30, right? 93, 9:30, you know, everything in, you know, radio, local radio. Everything's going to be 93Q. And
that's who you're thinking about while you're drinking your beers.
Right, exactly.
It's 93 cents. Why? I don't care. It's 93 cents. But the promotion doesn't seem to be working.
So it would always be like at 9:20, you would get up there to get a drink, and you go, "Hey, what can you get?" I go, "Oh, it's 9:20. Hey, can I get 4 Coors Lights, and I got 2 in each hand, and then 1 in each of my jacket pockets?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm good for a while. I'm good. I brought $10.
They let you buy that many?
I'm good. 4 was the limit. You might be able. That was the whole thing, and so
not a long coat. It's 142 degrees in here. It's like that guy standing there with all the watches, right?
Oh,
you know, the old
man.
Trope in 80s movies. Hey, do you need a watch?
And that's the other thing, too, is, you know, going into a club in the wintertime when it's so incredibly cold out, but you're going and then it's hot and, you know, you can't take your jacket off and put it anywhere because it'll get stolen. That was the only club I ever went to. Every other place I ever went to, I wanted to stretch out and spread out and have a seat and sit and be able to talk and play whatever music I want to play on the jukebox and watch something on TV. Now, that's what I like. I was always about comfort, going, now this is what it is.
And then yeah, but you're a baller now. You can get your ball. Bottle service, man. Come on.
Oh, that is true. That is true. I would have to be in a roped off area. Like I'd have to be sitting in a place where it's roped off. Like you can't come here. This is my roped off area right here. This is as far as you can go. This is my area here.
I like that.
So I was always, that's always what I wanted to do. I was always that's how I like to go out. Like give me some time to just spread out and do my thing. And hey, you know, let the kid, let his personality go a little bit here. Like, let's see what I got to say about stuff and not just have to go, "Hey, do you need another drink? I'm going to the bar." No. They got to wait in line for a restroom. That's awful. No. My club days were done. Middle of my 20s. I'm like, I'm done. Club doesn't sound fun to me.
Well, that's why you just install a disco ball in your house.
Yeah, that's right.
Drop it down from the ceiling and away we go.
And you know what always drive me crazy is people who would say, "Oh, why are you going there? Oh my God, that place is packed. Let's go here instead." And then people would say, "Oh, but why? Nobody's there." And
nobody goes there anymore.
And
it's too crowded. What are you, Yogi Berra?
Yeah. And I go, "Well, what do you mean nobody's there?" "Well, you know, it's there's not a lot of people there." And I go, Who do you want to be there? Like, what do you think you're going to, you tell me who you want to be there. Like, oh, I go to more people, you can meet more people, all this stuff, but you're going with friends, you can hang out. And just, I'm like, who do you want to be there? You're right. Madonna's going to be at this bar we're going to go to in Syracuse, not at this bar we're going to go to in Syracuse. Oh, got it. Okay, so let that's where we should go instead. Oh, that always drove me crazy. Oh, but no one's going to be there. We're going to be there and we can hang out, but, you know, hey. But that was me. I was ahead of my time, Mike Harmon.
The only clubs I really went to was when we went to Vegas for conferences.
Mm.
I'd get it out of my system there.
Really? You wouldn't just go right to the casino? I'm going to the casino.
Nah. I liked people watching in clubs. Still do.
Yeah. And counting cards, too. Did you count cards for a while?
I do have that unique ability, yes.
Mm, okay, I got to write that down.
Fast Harmon, brain.
Harmon counts cards. Opening scene of Rain Man. Okay, all right, we're good. All right, good. I'll get both of us the same suit like Tom Cruise did, and we can go down the escalator together.
Yeah, as long as it's the Spike Lee suit. We've already gone through this.
Oh, that's true, yeah. I will get you the Spike Lee suit from last night. I think you would look really good in it.
No, I think I would be fantastic, especially that matching hat. No.
So Howie Long clearly was not in for the club tonight. I'm just going home.
Just much fun though.
Just your friend who, when everybody wants to go out, wants, you know what, dude? I'm just tired. I'm just gonna go home. I'm just gonna show up and drink club soda and lime. I'm just gonna go home. I'm not feeling it tonight.
Look,
I'll drop you off there, but I'm gonna go home.
At least he didn't throw in the one liner that, I mean, he really could have. Dude, I just watched the Browns and the Broncos. I'm going home. Now, if we had another minute or two, we would have been asking about the greatest, you know, practical jokes ever pulled on him by our own Jay Glazer. Mm. But we didn't get to that part of the Uber experience.
So we'll have more football coming up in a few minutes. Again, great visit with Jay and with Howie, and we're going to replay that and get it our best of as well. So stay tuned for that here on Fox Sports Radio, probably about an hour or so from now. But you can get it in the meantime, our best of podcast when it goes up after the show is over, iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts, it's there, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. So we are headed back to Atlanta for Game 6 of the NLCS as the Dodgers defy expectation and pound the Braves 11-2. They pound out 17 hits, 16 of them from Chris Taylor tonight. Actually,
it seemed like it, didn't it? Between him and Cody Bellinger.
He is 4-for-6 with 3 home runs and 6 RBI on the night. Cody Bellinger had 3 hits. AJ Pollock had 3 hits. This was a Dodger runaway. And here's why I'm nervous for the Braves. Right now, I tell you all the time, I subscribe to your next day starting pitcher, being able to play small ball, all these things in the playoffs. But momentum is its own fickle thing. And this was a game that the Dodgers should not have won. All right, this was a game the Dodgers should not have won. They come into this game down 3-1, so already mentally you are in a hole. You know you're not scoring runs, you're having trouble doing so, and you find out last night Justin Turner is out for the rest of the postseason. Injured last night, not going to play anymore. So a top-heavy lineup just got weaker. So that's on top of it. You're going with a bullpen game, which is not the way to win games. Bullpen games are ways to try to get you one more game in a series, or you don't win games with bullpen games, and this is where the Dodgers had to go for a win-or-go-home game. Meanwhile, the Braves were going with a fully rested Max Fried, right? Everything they wanted, they had in this game. They even started the game with a Freddie Freeman 2-run homer. Top of the first inning, Joe Kelly starts for the Dodgers, doesn't even make it out of the first
inning.
Right,
he has to leave with bicep tightness and he's gone.
This is everything going the Braves' way. Everything that tells you the Braves should win. The mental status of both teams going in, the injury to Justin Turner, the bullpen game for the Dodgers, the Braves have their starting pitcher rested. Everything is going the way. They start fast, and you think this is going to be a runaway. And the Dodgers just claw back, and they hit home run after home run after home run, all by Chris Taylor, a 3-run second, a 2-run fifth, a 4-run eighth. and they win this 11-2. I'm a little scared if I'm the Braves, because this was the we finished. This was the finish him game. It should have been. It was supposed to be that. Finish them!
Finish
him! Instead, the Dodgers extend the series. This is a wriggle-off-the-hook game, and if I'm the Braves, I'm nervous. Are the Dodgers now going to hit? Are Pollock and Taylor and Bellinger all getting hot? Trey Turner had three hits tonight, too. Are these guys getting hot now? We had a day to think about this. The Dodgers are leaving town. You saw the crowd leaving. All kinds of momentum. They were happy. The Dodgers have come back from 3-1 against the Braves before. Now you're thinking about it a little bit. I'm really nervous if I'm the Braves. Not that they can't win the next two games, but you can only give away so many games in a series. And the Braves, with everything going their way, had to be at an 80% chance to win this game, thinking if you had one of those math things that the Braves are an 80% chance to win this game. Everything going in, getting the two-run home in the top of the first, and the Dodgers wriggle off the hook and they win. And that's why I'm nervous if I'm the Braves, because this should have been the closeout game. It should have been finish him! And instead, we're going back to Atlanta for game six.
And now you have a completely rested Max Scherzer waiting for you. Right? That's the big thing. A guy that can go seven, can get to the eighth. When we're talking about some of these other starters, it's the, all right, I pray you get through five. I mean, that's Major League Baseball in 2020 in general, right? You're wishing, wanting, hoping that you can get a full six, but you'll take five because it's at least an official game and that you don't have to tax your bullpen too much. In this one, jump out early. Kelly leaves with the injury, goes off with the trainer, and then it becomes the press the buttons and hope you're pressing the right ones. If you're Dave Roberts and obvious management, however much they chime in with matchups. And again, you know, owing to the rules of 2021 as well, and I think this saves some managers from themselves too, is that you can't just flip-flop guys quickly, right? Because of the three-batter rule, you've got a different way that you have to approach things. But still, for the Dodgers tonight, still go through seven pitchers before it's all said and done. Gratterall and trying and give them two scoreless each. Trying to give up the one hit. Gratterall with two strikeouts, otherwise clean. And he was efficient, only 14 pitches. So good about that. Knebel comes in and strikes out the side. So all of it. You didn't even have to sweat Jansen.
No.
I mean, he was up and throwing.
Sweating Jansen.
Pitches, nine strikes.
Yeah. There was no sweating Jansen. I mean, I knew tonight we were not going to get another special episode of sweating Jansen.
No, but the fact that he was already up and working and then they added, you know, the extra insurance runs with Pollock there in deep in the game. It's like, all right, he's already warm. Bring him in. And you have the day off tomorrow, so the bullpen gets a little bit of a pause. And then, obviously, it's on Scherzer to give them a better effort than he did on Sunday. 4 1/3, four hits, two earned runs. The home run did have seven strikeouts against just one walk, but when you can't get out of the fifth, right, because he'd come in relief and pitch that one inning, even though it was only 13 pitches. And I know there's a lot of, that's not how they pitched in the old days. Well, it's not the old days anymore. Like, if I had a dollar for all that, look, I can lament the fact that guys can't go more than five innings in a start or six innings in a start. And then we start getting into the bullpen management and guys don't pitch complete games or even really work deep into the third time through a lineup, right? The metrics, the analytics all say, don't do it. It's bad for business. I understand that, and I'll stipulate to that. Doesn't mean I don't want to see a guy go six or seven, but I understand when they don't. But to say, hey, the guy only pitched so much in relief, he should be ready and firing in all cylinders, you know, 2.5 days later, I don't subscribe to that, right? I was trying to explain it. You know, Madeline, you know, we talk about, you know, soccer games and rest and, you know, muscle fatigue and all of those things. Trying to be smart about it like you do with the girls you coach, right? It's, you know, you gotta make sure you're getting your proper rest and all of that. Same thing here. But back in the day, you know, when pitchers, you know, because he asked how often do guys throw? And I was like, well, in an ideal world, your starters are only going every fifth day. Back in the day, you know, guys would start 50 games in a season. It doesn't work that way anymore, right? It's a specialized sport. It's changed tremendously. And even in the last decade, the way we're using numbers more and pushing through, it makes for a very interesting, I'd love a behind the scenes of an in-game management as to how much communication there is on the bat phone and working a computer and going back through splits and at bats and, all right, how close of an angle was this guy off of getting over on that fastball or curveball? I mean, it's all fascinating stuff. But today, all the right buttons were pushed, and you succeed and proceed, live to see another day. It's only appropriate in this Halloween season, you know, where the classic line is always, you can't kill a dead man. Well, Dodgers aren't dead yet. To be the man, you got to beat the man. And they tapped out like right before Tommy Young's hand hit for that third time.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. I mean, I'm feeling nervous for the Braves after this tonight. Finding it harder to perform at your best as you age? Well, fight back with M-Drive, the daily supplement for driven men who refuse to let age beat them. M-Drive supports healthy testosterone levels and boosts energy to help you regain your edge. Visit MDriveForMen.com. That's MDriveForMen.com for 20% off your first order with promo code Smith. That's free shipping and a 60-day guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Visit MDriveForMen.com. That's MDriveForMen.com. 20% off your first order. Promo code Smith. My last name, S-M-I-T-H. Don't forget, free shipping and a 60-day guarantee. Well, coming up next, we'll have more on the Dodgers because my friends have figured out for us to be a way to make money off of the baseball playoffs. Mike
Sweet.
Harmon.
Let's go.
All right. I'll tell you that. Plus, what I would love to see one big-time NFL personality do after the Thursday night game tonight. Oh, I'd love to see it.
I'm so excited.
It'll happen, but I'd love to see it. That's next rocks.
Big ball is ticking.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon back here at Fox Sports Radio. A beautiful, beautiful Thursday night as we begin week 7 of your National Football League. Action still on the hardwood. We've got the Warriors, a 4-point lead over the Clippers, just inside of 5 minutes remaining. Fourth quarter, some of those usual Steph Curry heroics on display once again. We watched the Heat obliterate the Bucks earlier tonight and the Atlanta Hawks down the Dallas Mavericks. So in the end, you didn't quite get the barn burners you hoped for. At least this final game is close as we now have a 1-point game with 4 minutes now remaining. Reggie Jackson with a big shot. See, it's Mr. October coming up big.
Well, if your name's Reggie Jackson, if you're not big in October, when can you really be big?
Well, he's 4 of 18 on the night, but he hit a big one there as he's now got 11 and the Warriors with a 1-point lead.
Yes, and you know, the kicker, Jason Myers, if you can't be big around Halloween when your name is Jason Myers, when are you really going to be big?
No, that's a fair point.
I mean, that's really, there's certain names you kind of have to do it.
No, I like the cut of your jib. There you go.
I thought you were going to give me a little sling blade. I like the way you talk.
Well, I do like
the way you talk. I like the way you talk. So let me ask you this now. So we just watched tonight the Denver Broncos in a close game with the Browns, right? We talked about the Browns and everything that went on. I want to throw this scenario by you on a scale of 1 to 10, how much you would love it, okay? If 1 means you hate it, 10 means you'd love it more than anything else in the world.
Okay, cool.
You ready?
Yep.
All right. The Browns win, and the Broncos offense was meh. Clearly, you have weapons there. All right? Look, Melvin Gordon, you know how functional he is as a running back, what he does. He gets in the end zone. He's fine. All right? And you have Javonte Williams, who could be a future stud. They really like him. They got a pretty good running game all set. You have weapons at receiver and Cortland Sutton, who is healthy. Noah Fant is a really good tight end, right? You still have
Judy's coming back.
You're getting Jerry Jeudy on the way back, and you just watch Teddy Bridgewater go, eh. 187, couple of touchdowns a pick, and the Broncos really could mount nothing. They had 2 touchdown drives in the second half, and that was it. They have given away a big start, and they went into this season thinking for some reason, hey, we can get by with Teddy Bridgewater and or Drew Lock. And they go with Teddy Bridgewater, and it's like Vic Fangio and his defensive acumen is now a wet blanket over the entire organization where nobody's playing offense well. You beat 3 of the worst teams in the NFL. Then you play teams that are not bad, and you've lost to all of them to go to 3-4. If I'm John Elway, I just say screw it. and I find a way ahead of the trade deadline to call, and if I can't do it now, it could be for the end of the year, and I say, look at the team we have built right here. We're always going to have a pretty good defense. Look at the weapons we have right now. Two good running backs, three good receivers, a good tight end. Who doesn't want to come here? Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, whoever wants this gig, you guys can have it. We want you here now. We'd love to do something now, but if it doesn't work, okay, let's wait, and we can do it after this year. Because if you're Denver, I don't know how you went into this situation thinking this is going to work. We're going to be a big-time playoff team. The Panthers wanted to start over at quarterback, so they got rid of Teddy Bridgewater for Sam Darnold. What does that tell you? The Jets wanted to start over at quarterback, so they got rid of Sam Darnold. So the Jets get rid of a guy who a team brought in who got rid of a guy that they didn't want because they wanted a guy another team got rid of. How do you think that's going to work? You need to go big game hunting, and your team is ready to rock, right? You got everything you need. You need that quarterback in the middle. And when you get there later in your career, just look at what it did for Peyton Manning the last 4 years he was there. Now, Peyton proved he was done the last year, but before then, 50 touchdowns, getting more zip on that fastball in the mile-high air, 10 more yards probably on every throw. This is the place to go. Denver was interested in Aaron Rodgers in the offseason. I go back to that again and say, what do we need? What do we need? Now, the Packers aren't going to do anything now, obviously, and neither are the Seahawks, but you want to fire that bullet and say, hey, okay, we want everybody to know, hey, let's figure something out now for the offseason. When everybody know we are going for one of you guys in the offseason. Whoever wants it, we'd love to have either of you. I'd probably want to have Rodgers a little bit more than Russell Wilson just because of the fit for that offense. There's certain teams I think Wilson would be better fit for. Like if Wilson took over for Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh, that would be a much better fit for him than it would be Aaron Rodgers with Pittsburgh, where Rodgers can just, you know, lay back and fire because he has all the weapons to use. So I think there's a couple of different fits there, but certainly Wilson could make it work in Denver. But either of these guys, that's where I go. I say screw it if I'm John Elway, and I just tweeted out, I don't care about tampering. It's the trade deadline. We can make phone calls. Aaron, Russell Wilson, we need one of you guys for next year, and I'm going to move heaven and earth to make it happen.
And then I try to go after you for tampering.
It's the trade deadline. You can make a phone call. You can make a phone call.
You got to ask permission first. And then you can recruit all you want. And you know what's going to matter? Not at all, because both those teams are going to say, beat it. They're okay. Under contract to us.
Right, and that's fine, because it's not going to happen now, obviously.
No, even in the offseason, it's the same thing. We're going to have a repeat of the offseason of 2021.
But at least you know going in, okay, hey, they made it known at the end of October, beginning of November, how badly they wanted me. Okay, let's see if this can happen now. Now the end of the season comes. I've been thinking about it, looking at that. Boy, Jerry Jeudy looks good coming back from that injury. All these things happening.
Right, but the Packers still have to trade him.
Let's go make that
happen. And going in and saying, pretty please, the Broncos really like me, is not exactly going to have the Packers going, well, you know what, we really should do Aaron this solid because he really likes them. They really like him. He doesn't like us very much. Is he under contract to us? Yeah. Okay, what's the point? What are we doing? Why are we having this conversation?
Right,
it's Aaron bleeping Rodgers.
There's if Aaron Rodgers says, I'm not going to play there anymore. I did this year. Now yeah. I'm not there anymore.
No, that's fine.
And the Broncos could say, okay, Aaron, that's great. If you can't get out, hey, Russ, we like you too, man. Don't think we just like Aaron more than you. No, we like you both equally. This would be fantastic. But you can go get some big quarterback. And I don't mean like Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, get a better quarterback than that. Go bigger for a quarterback. I'm sorry, Garoppolo, you're not invited. You can get somebody bigger than that to come play because that's what you need. That's all that you need on this team. Because watching them tonight and watching Bridgewater try to go down the field 5 yards at a time, it just doesn't work. I mean, I feel like watching them tonight, it reminded me of the Steelers at the end of the year last year, where every Ben Roethlisberger pass was a 3-yard slant where it all had to be yak for Deontay Johnson and Juju Smith-Schuster and everybody else. That's the only way we're moving the football down the field, was if we had yak. And we didn't have yak, so, all right, we couldn't win any games the end after we started out 11-0. That was kind of how I was watching Denver tonight, was all the passes were 3 and 4 yards downfield and try to make something happen. You can't win like that.
No, that's the thing. It's a quick release, and then the blocking system downfield, and let's face it, most receivers don't want to do it. to why we celebrated guys like Hines Ward, even if he was a little bit on the edge, why we celebrated it so much. And there's a number of guys that have that reputation of being able to get after it in that regard, and so many others that don't. So even at the tight end position, right, we've seen that devolve. We have our blocking and sometimes pass-catching tight ends, and then we have guys that are essentially wide receivers. Occasionally, we'll lay you out, so you got to keep your head on a swivel, right? Not to go down that road, because many of our colleagues have lost trying to go to that way. But when we look at this offense, right, KJ Hamler got hurt, right? Another speed option that you would have had, and you're built speed for days. Teddy Bridgewater's not going to push it. Would Drew Lock? Yeah, I think he would take more shots downfield. Would he potentially put the ball on the carpet more frequently by not feeling a rush? Yes, that's why he was not your starter, right? So that in Teddy Bridgewater and he, the interception rates weren't very vastly different, but Lock more of a fumbling issue. And then you got a two-headed monster in the backfield, which is like Melvin Gordon isn't the guy everybody wanted him to be, but he's still a pretty damn good running back. Right, and when you pair him with Javonte Williams, you've got something there. Hey, look, Vic Fangio costs you as much as any player on the field. All right, let's call it what it is. Week to week, there are some mind-numbingly bad coaching decisions that get made. And in this one, you also lost Von Miller. I would have liked to seen the second half, especially because Denver's offense came out with a little bit of life, right? If you still had him in the middle, unfortunately, he collides with his own man and has to leave. X-ray is negative, but now you're wondering how long he's going to be missing from the heart of your defense, because then you saw De'Ernest Johnson. Who? Yeah, that guy you picked up off waivers. 7 carries, 52 yards to close out the clock and finish off a victory. So, yeah, big time for Denver. And to your point, yes, I think you do try to go make a big push. The question is, will any of these guys be available to you? Or will it be in vain?
If you're going to go any place to go play for John Elway, because clearly you're not playing for Vic Fangio. I mean, Elway would say, listen, I'm making all the offensive decisions. Fangio, he doesn't even, he's not even in on the offensive meetings, right?
Well, that's what Bruce Arians said in Tampa.
Yeah.
Goes, I don't go to the meetings. Byron Leftwich runs that. I'm out.
Doesn't even have a key to the room, so he can't even get in. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. Yeah, that's where you go. That's where you go. You're playing for a team where the guy running the team is one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, who knows a thing or two about quarterbacks. Kick Tim Tebow
but does
to,
he really?
To go get Peyton Manning.
Does he know something about quarterbacks?
Well, he's won a Super Bowl. He got the right guy.
He got Peyton Manning!
Yeah, he was able to convince Peyton Manning to come play. Being a recruiter is sometimes the thing you have to do as a team. Hey, I got you the guy. You go make it work.
Yeah, but he was a free agent. Again, he's got to go work with other ownership groups and GMs to acquire one of these big fish.
Listen, maybe John Elway. Elway's big skill is convincing good players to come play for him, not trying to pick who he thinks are good players. Clearly, that's not his strength, but convincing players who are already good to come play for him, that's a big skill. That's what John Elway should do. Let somebody else pick the quarterbacks when you have to pick one, but when a big one comes available, hey, I'll be the guy that closes the deal.
I'm sure he'd be fantastic at it. Mm. I mean, that's why you have a book written about you called A Relentless Life by our friend Jason Cole that you can get on Amazon. I mean, that's what you are if you're John Elway.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
So friends of mine said to me, dude, you need to make money on your sweating Jansen thing that you talk about, because we talk about swell, like it's become a thing now on the show, right? Sweating Jansen. I go, what do you mean make money? I don't understand. Like t-shirts, they go, no. You got to have, my friend said, you got to have one of those websites like, did the Knicks win tonight? And it's just, you know, somebody shaking their head no or saying yes. And it says, were the Dodgers sweating Jansen tonight? And it's either yes or no. And if it's no, it's Kenley Jansen with a smile and like stars on his face. And if it's yes, it's Jansen frowning with like water pouring down his face, which is all the sweat. And you go, and that could just be your website. You don't even need any more content. I said, that's a pretty good idea. We could just, yeah, people would say, hey, we're just Sweating Jansen website and sweatingjansen.com. And we could wind up making money off that. People would go just to see those two things.
I feel like we need to register it yesterday.
Let me see if I try it right. Hang on. Sweatingjansen.com.
Because I think if it is registered, I don't want to look at it.
No, it's not. It says it's not. So we're good with sweatingjanson.com.
Right, because if it had been
.org,
I'm a little afraid to go and click on it. I'm not gonna lie. Because Jansen with two S's is a surname that maybe takes you somewhere else. I don't know.
You never know. That's why you got to spell it right. J-A-N-S-E-N. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. We got more on Sweating Jansen. We got more NFL on the way. But coming up next, a story that after the news on it today, our long national nightmare on this really needs to end. And I really hope it ends tomorrow. It does. It absolutely needs to end. We'll get into it next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it, you listen to it, I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
It's true.
We have more on Thursday Night Football and the best NBA story by far of the day coming up in a few minutes. But speaking of the NBA, tomorrow the 76ers are going to meet with Ben Simmons about his status with the team. Ben Simmons, who was sent home and fined and suspended for conduct detrimental during practice, wasn't known if he was going to play in the Sixers game on Friday night. Ben Simmons skipped an individual workout, received treatment for a back injury, didn't come to practice. Your move, Philadelphia 76ers. So now the two sides are meeting tomorrow after word is that Simmons says he's not ready to play for the 76ers. End this. When I hear the Sixers say things like, hey, you know, buckle in, this is going to be a long ride. This is all your fault. I want to boycott this story after tomorrow, because this should have been done months ago, and now the Sixers are living through this because they just decided, hey, we don't want to trade Ben Simmons because we're afraid what would happen. We're going to act like a small market team where trading Ben Simmons, it could come back to haunt us. The guy doesn't want to play for you. You don't want him. He's not a good player down the stretch in games. You blamed him for losing in the playoffs. He doesn't want to shoot. You want to get rid of him, but now, no, he's a guy, and now we're holding on to him. The market for Ben Simmons isn't going to suddenly change and get better. I don't know what the 76ers are thinking. I could have had this solved months ago. You knew he didn't want to play. Now he's only showing up because he had to, putting in minimal effort, practicing with a cell phone in his pocket, which I had to tell girls who were 11 years old they couldn't do 2 years ago. So, this baffles me that here's where we are. And I want this story to end, because this story should end, because it should have ended way before now. But no. Now it's going to be more of a drama for a player who, let's be honest, is a good player, and he does a lot of things, and he could be a good third or fourth best player on the team, but he's not a number two. Be given way too much attention to the storyline for what's going on. It should have been big for a few days, then there should have been a trade, and everybody moves on. But instead now, all the airtime given to this Ben Simmons, should he go, should he not, how are they treating him? It's just a load of crap, and this should have been done by now, and I want this story to be over. I want our long national Ben Simmons nightmare to end, Mike Harmon. Over.
Well, I mean, there's several of these stories that drag on. I didn't want to talk about Aaron Rodgers every day for the summer, but, you know, we did. And then he went back to Green Bay just like I said he would. So, like, here we are in the same kind of thing. We'll have updates and Daryl Morey doing radio interviews saying, hey, we don't have an offer sufficient to give up a guy of this caliber, and I think things can change in a month's time, maybe 6 weeks' time, whatever it is, where we start getting towards the holidays, you know, the real start of the NBA season, and teams that have now decided with 15 to 20 games under their belt, are we any good to where we can make some noise, or are we done? And if you're at one of these teams that thinks, hey, we're bringing in a guy of Ben Simmons' ilk, play some defense, distribute the ball some, doesn't shoot, but can do all the other things. Maybe you've got ample shooters that you decide, okay, we can go out and get him, and you get a better asking price than you would now. So, yeah, I think right now you're in no man's land because any people have gone into their season with the roster intact, and if they're young players that they're trying to evaluate, they want to get them their minutes, figure out if they're any good or not. If they're veteran teams that, you know, might be on the fringe of the playoffs, they'll go that route too, right? And see where they're at. And then if the market is, all right, we can make a push and this guy puts us over to where now, say, staying in the Eastern Conference is the curiosity, right? Of the opportunity to go make a push and become a contender, then maybe if you're Daryl Morey, that's why you're waiting, right? They're not bringing you enough in terms of viable new assets now, because trading for a bunch of draft picks, that's a bunch of crap. And Philadelphia already did that. They trusted the process, damn it. They're not going to trust it again. I should just quote the Who. We won't get fooled again.
Yes. Yeah! And then give the yell at the end like you're on CSI.
Yeah, no, I haven't had any alcohol yet tonight, so I can't do the scream. Get a couple of whiskeys in me, maybe, you know, lube up a little bit there. Yeah, we're ready to go.
Ben Simmons, I think the 76ers are posture petering their way to a trade. Yeah! And just picture Caruso taking his glasses off to, you know, you want to think about, that's a way David Caruso can make a lot of money, is to do like that
one Michael Buffer thing?
Yeah, no, and like on Cameo.
Yeah.
You know, like on Cameo when he does that, when he does it, you pay him money to say, and Ben Simmons takes glasses off, they're posture petering their way to a trade. And that's like $250, and you can get him to say anything you want to. How about that?
Yeah,
huh?
He just strikes me as a guy that would refuse a lot of them. Nah, I don't like that.
Oh, big stories out of the NBA and NFL next.